Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Sidekick.
Ooh.
Today is May 8th, 2016, and this is episode 14, Wolf Children.
Which explains my terrible Worse Than Shakira howl.
You're a she-wolf in disguise, is that it?
Ow!
So, today, as you may have guessed from that date, it is Mother's Day, and we thought it would be fun to look at one of our anime favorites that is specifically a sort of a slice-of-life fantasy and motherhood drama feature all in one. So that's kind of what Wolf Children is all about, so let's buckle in and talk about it. Slaggy, let's start the discussion straightforwardly. How would you describe Wolf Children?
Wolf Children is just your typical slice of life, sort of anime film. It just so happens that the mom is mother to wolf children, as you might have guessed.
Now, what is a wolf child?
Well, it is a werewolf baby.
A werewolf baby.
So there is nothing like Halloween or macabre about this at all. Aside from the fact that, you know, the two children that are the wolf children of the title are, you know, able to transform into wolves, it's not really that much otherwise of a fantasy, you know. It's very much grounded in, like, you know, real life and, you know, family and that sort of thing. So it's really pretty unique in its presentation.
Yeah, that was actually something I really enjoyed about it. I would almost describe it as Ghibli-esque, which is probably the highest praise I could give something.
I would say that's a reasonable comparison.
Except, honestly, it's probably even a little more grounded than most Ghibli pieces.
That's my thing. I feel like if this was a Ghibli piece, it would have gone a little more into the fantastical, and I don't think that this story needed that.
Well, I absolutely agree. And, you know, you've started poking into the discussing the genre and tone of the piece, so why don't you dig into that a little bit more? Why don't you tell me specifically about the tone?
Yeah, you know, one thing, like I said, is the fact that it is a werewolf movie, that is, it's not like a horror movie at all. There's like nothing horror about it. And like I said, the only real fantasy element is that the children can, and, you know, and her late husband, spoiler alert, they are werewolves. But I mean, other than that, it's really just kind of a slice of life, very, really touching story about, you know, a single mother raising her two children and trying to, like, let them kind of explore their own paths and, you know, live the lives they want to be. And in this case, you know, that kind of boils down to living as a wolf or living as a human, or, you know, kind of that, the difficulty in accepting both parts of their identity.
Excellent, excellent. One thing that I want to discuss a little bit is that, you know, I saw it was often repeated in reviews of this piece, that the film is often described as sentimental. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, I would say so. I mean, it's very, you know, the mother in this film, Hana, she's very central to the plot, which is, you know, when we were thinking of movies or anime or whatever to talk about that involve mothers, it's like, you know, well, Evangelion, Full Metal Alchemist, but in all seriousness, you know, this is a movie about motherhood to the degree that, you know, lots of shows or movies have mothers in them, but
this movie is kind of specifically about her journey of motherhood as she tries to raise these different children to be healthy, productive individuals living happy lives. And in a lot of ways, I feel like she herself is really the main character, despite the fact that, you know, it's titled after her children.
Yeah.
So I actually, you know, I really enjoyed this piece.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I really feel like it's actually really fantastic Mother's Day viewing, because it is very much about, you know, sort of what she gives up and
exactly
the choices she makes in order to give her children a happy life.
I was just about to say that, you know, she makes a lot of sacrifices for her puppies
And, you know, you make jokes about them that way, but the movie never treats their situation as a joke or
oh, never
or
does.
As something to be afraid of. It's just taken as a fact of life.
I mean, there are some really cute moments where, like, you know, they do, like, very dog things, though, so, I mean...
Oh, yeah, there were a ton of very adorable moments, and that actually was something that took me by surprise, was how cute they treated the werewolf aspect. So the wolf children, when they're you know, very young, are often scampering about, turning into their wolf form and running about fields, or even in the house with, like their nightshirt tied around their neck, doing little cute barks and stuff. It's just played, like, super cute and very warmth. Very warm.
You know, just kind of playing, like, I would say, like, the most it pokes fun at it is, you know, at first, Hana and her children, Yuki and Ame, they're living in the apartment where, you know, she gave birth to them and where she raised them, you know, very early on until her, shortly after her husband's passing, but, or I guess he wasn't really husband, they weren't married, but, you know.
You don't need to say all that.
Just saying, and, you know, the landlord's like, you're not allowed to have pets. She's like, I don't have pets.
Yeah. And I thought that was, it was cute. And something I really liked about this movie was the way that it did approach little details like that. You know, Hana opts for a home birth because she's afraid that the children will be born with wolf features and that they'll come under suspicion. You know, obviously her neighbors complain about noise when the babies are barking and they can hear wolves howling. I'm sorry, babies are crying. I think I might have just said babies are barking.
you know what babies do.
So, you know, it's just, I thought it was really cute that the piece also, sort of from a narrative standpoint, dealt with these sort of logistical issues. And a lot of times you see these sort of slice of life, like modern day fantasy pieces, sort of gloss over like the real mechanics of how, like, in the real world, characters like this could exist. And this movie is sort of just specifically about that. And that was something I really enjoyed. You know, one of the big focuses on the film within the narrative is after the untimely passing of her husband or lover, I suppose we should say, how can she teach the wolf children to be human children or wolf children as they choose in a way that won't get them in trouble, that won't get, you know, sort of blow up the whole secret and get everybody in hot water. And I really loved seeing the characters try to tackle these logistical issues because so often in these pieces you see them glossed over. It was neat to see Karen thought put toward that.
Oh, definitely.
So, Saigi, I'd like you to think about some other slice of life, motherhood, drama, fantasy pieces. And I'd really like to hear your sort of how you feel about this piece in comparison to those pieces. And something that would be game for this would even be something like Fruits Basket, which has slice of life fantasy elements, but also a strong focus on motherhood via the main character's mother, who unfortunately is passed, but still plays a fairly significant role throughout the series. Okay. Spoiler alert for that. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Fruits Basket. Now you're taking me back. You know, I actually haven't watched that recently enough to do a valid comparison, I think. But, you know, I was actually looking a little bit more, like I said, into the less fantastical. And, I mean, I guess it doesn't quite focus as much on the mother as much, which is why I originally was like, oh, we could talk about this movie, but it's not really about the mother as much. But Whisper of the Heart, a Studio Ghibli
film. Oh, yeah.
Which it does, you know, does interact. There is some degree about, you know, the two daughters and the relationships with the mother in the film, but, you know, it's primarily about the younger daughter. And, you know, and the fantasy elements there are just kind of like, you know, she's writing a novel and she's imagining about the cat, which later is the star of The Cat Returns. So, I mean, it almost reminded me a little bit more of that, just kind of, you know, I would say more of the slice of, it's really more slice of life to me than it is fantasy, because, you know.
Well, and that's great. You know, the reason why I went to a Fruits Basket place was actually
because. Because
you love
Fruits Basket.
Well, actually, it was because all I could think about comparing this to is Studio Ghibli films, which, for, again, highest compliment I can give to Wolf Children. But I wanted to try to avoid it. But, you know, since you went to a Ghibli place as well, I will say, you know, the closest thing I could think of from a different perspective was probably something like Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, that we're sort of seeing a very similar story, but told from the perspective of the child. And, you know, as the child is finding their own way, because that is ultimately also what Wolf Children is about.
That's pretty much every Ghibli film.
Right. You know, Wolf Children, while a large portion of the story is about the mother and how she's handling raising these wolf children, the other part of the story is really about the wolf children sort of coming into their own personalities, figuring out who they are and what kind of lives they want to live. And that, to me, was very reminiscent of Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which, you know, thematically is very similar. And in fact, there's even sort of a similar sort of climax. And I'm not going to get too much into that because I don't want to spoil Wolf Children. But much as the first time I saw Kiki's Delivery Service, I thought, you know, that was a sweet and good ending, but it was also bittersweet. I felt that way about Wolf Children as well. And the ending to Wolf Children is something that's actually very contentious on the internet. A lot of people, A lot of people on the internet really dislike the way it ends. I didn't. I thought that it was very much fitting with the narrative. And ultimately, you know, I thought it was appropriate. But if you're looking for like a super happy, happy, joy, joy ending, this is not the film for you. If you're looking for a little bit more of a bittersweet life lesson ending, then you would definitely probably get something out of this.
I mean, please correct me if I'm, like, you know, speaking inaccurately, but it seems just from what I've noticed about, you know, similar sort of family dynamics in other Japanese media, it seemed very like a Japanese sort of approach to like, oh, you know, I want you to go out and be successful and, you know, and you know, follow your own path kind of.
And, you know, I couldn't authoritatively say that for sure, but I will say it is, like you say, a very similar sort of take on growth and progression and sort of stepping into your life that I have seen in other films, particularly the Ghibli films.
Yeah.
So I'd like to move on a little bit and talk specifically about what we did and did not like about this piece. So why don't you get us started by talking about something you liked about this piece?
I really liked the, you know, the relationship of the wolf children and their mother. Like, you know, a lot of times children in anime can actually be really irritating characters, but, you know, they made the children were like really cute and like acted like children without being like, you know, irritating, which I mean, sounds like I'm just complaining about children right now, but, you know, I feel like we were talking about, was it in, Onyames, that one child who was like super annoying?
I believe that was Onyames, yeah.
And like, you know, so there's just like, sometimes like children are presented in a really like obnoxious way in anime.
I would say grating.
A very grating way, yeah. But I mean, the children were, you know, very
lovable.
They were very lovable. And, you know, they were like, sometimes I was like, oh my God, like, you know, like, because like they like did something bad or like, you know, they turned into wolves and messed up the house. I was like, ooh, but, you know, I couldn't really be mad at them. You know, I really liked the way that, you know, when they move into the countryside, spoiler alert, you know, I thought it was just, like, really cute in a, I guess you could say Harvest Moon sort of way, that they're like, oh, we're, like, you know, at first the other people who were, you know, living in the little village were kind of, like, suspicious of her because she's single mother, moving, like, in an isolated little cabin in the mountains. But then they, like, help her grow her crops and, you know, they start to welcome her into the town. So I thought that was just really sweet. And again, with, like, the slice of life and it was more than just about, oh my God, wolves, wolves, even though that element did play into it. Like, you know, she tells them that they have to, like, hide their wolf side from other people just because sometimes people are afraid. But, you know, it didn't do that at the sacrifice of, you know, exploring the slice of life elements.
Absolutely. Let's see, I really liked, again, you know, the way that the children were lovable. I thought that it was really well executed. I was ready to hate the children when I was watching it because, again, you know, as Slidekick says, children in anime can be irritating. But in this case, you know, I just thought they were really cute. I constantly found myself ooing and aahing as if they were like Pokemon practically. So, you know, that was great. I loved, again, you know, the slice of life stuff. The real focus on, like, hard work and the fruits that come of it in the sequences where they were, like, sort of tending the land and starting to, like, grow their own food. Which, as Psychic says, you know, is almost like a Harvest Moon scenario. But I really liked the way it was handled, and I really liked the way that they showed, you know, the hard work reaping rewards. I just thought that it was really well done. I thought it was really well executed. I really liked pretty much all of the, like, interpersonal character dynamics between the mother and the wolf children and, like, the various villagers that lived around their mountain house.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, again, it also had sort of that feeling of, you know, like, it takes a village to raise a child or whatever. It felt very real in a way that I thought allowed them to really explore some really interesting dynamics. So I dug that a lot. As far as what I didn't like, that's a little harder. The movie probably could have been a little shorter. It's 2 hours long. I really enjoyed it, but it probably could have been about 15 minutes shorter. But at the same time, I mean, I wasn't constantly looking at my watch to see when it was going to end, so that was like a minor issue at best. It's not like, you know, Batman versus Superman, where the whole time you're wishing it would to just be over now.
Like, what part would you have shortened without getting too spoilerific?
And that's the hard part, is that, you know, I have the general feeling that it could have been shorter, but there aren't a lot of sequences that I really feel could have been cut, you know, because even as it is, it's like there were some storylines that I actually would have liked to have seen a little bit more of. So while I'm saying it could have been shorter, I'm also saying I would have watched it if it were longer.
What you're saying is that you wish it was an OAV.
I definitely would have been into it if it were an OVA that was cut up into maybe 6 half-hour chunks. And that way, you know, it was a little bit less of like watching it all in one sitting, but ultimately could explore more. Mm. I would be into that. But, you know, again, the fact that I'm saying these kinds of things actually should be taken to indicate how much I enjoyed it. Like, I thought this was a fantastic movie.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I guess I didn't like that the father wolf dies, but I mean, that's kind of like, because at first when I really didn't know a lot about it before I watched it, you know, other than, you know, it's about, you know, wolf children and, you know, about their mother. But, you know, I thought it was going to be a very different movie than it ended up being. So,
for better or worse?
No, I think it ended up for the better. Like, I think I would not change what it was. I thought, like, you know, the wolf father was going to, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't really know what to expect.
Part of why that upset me, I will say, and this is to the credit of the movie, is even in just the probably 5 minutes it takes for him to pass away, unfortunately, maybe 10. I became very invested in his relationship with the main character, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very upset when he passed.
And I would say it was good.
But that's a credit to the movie, truly.
He's in the movie for like a good 10 to 15 minutes. And, you know, this isn't... So I guess I really can't think of really anything negative to say about it. But I'm going to say something negative about another film.
Okay.
I feel like it was handled much better than in a movie like Up by Pixar, which, I mean, this is going to be very controversial, but, you know, the whole...
the only good part of Up.
The part of Up with, what's his name, Carl?
I believe so.
And Ellie, and, like, you know, it's like 5 minutes, and then there's, like, a severe tonal shift after that, you know, that part of the movie. You know, I feel like, you know... the similar aspect of, you know, finding true love and then, you know, losing it was handled a lot better in this film. And I don't know if that's really a super valid comparison.
You know, I feel that it is, though, because in this context, and, you know, I give Up crap. I actually don't think it's that bad. It's just that I was very interested in the movie that it was for the first 10 minutes. I was significantly less interested in what the movie was for the rest of its running time. In this case, you know,
well,
you
that's
have
what
that.
Does.
Well, hold on. So in this case of Wolf Children, I thought that the opening was very convincing, did a really great job of making the characters relatable, and it really got you to root for their connection very quickly. After the passing of the male character, things are still somber. Things are still, you know, kind of down. Even as good things happen and cute things happen, there's still sort of a note of sadness to
it all.
And
they keep his photo ID, like, displayed in their
on, like, place. A mantelpiece type place.
It's not just like, oh, we're going to South America where there's talking dogs and a rare bird.
Okay, that is enough Up bashing, words I never thought I'd say. But I did like that they kept things sort of, like, these are happy moments, these are good things, but there's still a note of sadness, there's still a missing figure in the picture, and I felt like it was the opposite of a cop-out. I thought it was really, really cool and really valuable that they went with that choice, you know, because it does make things maybe a little less joyful than they would have been otherwise, but again, it keeps that sort of real feeling, despite the fact that we're dealing with the fantastic.
And in case you were curious, now that we're mentioning Pixar, surprisingly not much in common with Brave.
All right, we can move on. I am putting a moratorium on talking about Pixar.
Well, but you know, I mean, Pixar has been known for their slice of life and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
so,
well.
So I'm just having to say, you know.
You
I mean, what, would you rather have me make comparisons to, like, the Emoji Film or like VeggieTales or something. I don't know.
All right. So next up, let's talk about the production details. Wolf Children was directed by Mamoru Hosada-san. You are probably familiar with his work on such films as The Girl Who Leapt Through Time and Summer Wars. He did, in sort of the early phases of development on Howl's Moving Castle, intend to direct Howl's Moving Castle on contract with Studio Ghibli. But unfortunately, things didn't quite go the way that Studio Ghibli would have liked, and they ended up not going with his ideas.
I love Howl's Moving Castle, but that would be interesting to see what his take on it would have been.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
He also did The Boy and the Beast from last year, which was very, very well received.
Indeed. I actually know quite a few people who really enjoyed it. I missed it on its recent theatrical engagement, but I hope to see it soon. He directed some of the One Piece movies. He worked as a key animator on some of the Dragon Ball movies and some of the, like, the Sailor Moon Super S movie. So, you know, he has a lot of experience in the field. Obviously, Summer Wars and Girl Who Leapt Through Time are both well loved features. So definitely this was not surprising that Wolf Children came out so well, considering its bona fides.
Yeah, and also working on those movies with him, and also The Princess and the Pilot is the other one that's kind of goes with it, although that's one I haven't heard as much about as the ones that you mentioned. But anyways, working on all of those, and Wolf Children, of course, was Satoko Ukudera-san, and she has done a lot of anime and live action. Funny enough, I just found when I was reading up on her that she did a Kiki's Delivery Service live action film. She did a story for that. Apparently, it was very, very poorly received.
Yeah, I actually have heard a lot about that. I have unfortunately heard it wasn't terribly good, but it was kind of a big deal when they made that.
But yeah, so I mean, she has done some definitely great stuff, and I'm not as familiar with her cinematic work, but it's cool that she's been successful in both I don't want to say genres, both kind of realms of cinema, I guess you could say. And I guess Gakko no Kaiden, School Ghost Stories, is kind of her best known live action one. I'm not too familiar with that series of movies, but
excellent. And it's worth mentioning, a lot of these titles that you just heard us discuss, you're probably gonna see full episodes on Anime Buoy of Girl Who Leapt Through Time and Summer Wars at some point. And if The Boy and the Beast is as good as I hear it is, I'm hesitant to say that we'll cover a film we've never seen, but if it's as good as we hear, it does sound like a likely candidate for an episode as well.
You keep not mentioning The Princess and the Pilot. Was that one kind of a bomb?
It's just not really on my radar.
Maybe it definitely should be.
Hey, maybe.
We'll have to check it out. So, should we talk about Yoshiyuki Sadamoto now?
We should always talk about Yoshiyuki Sadamoto-san.
I mean, I feel like we have before, because, I mean, he is one of the founding members of Gainax. His first job was Royal Space Force, The Wings of Onayamis, which I could still not say. Obviously, he did character design on Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Character design on The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, yeah. Summer Wars,
FLCL.
Yeah, one of the some of the Dot Hack projects, Gunbuster. So obviously, Nadia Blue Water.
So pretty much those classic, Ghibli character design is him. It's him.
So, yeah, obviously we're big fans of Sadamoto-san's work here in studio. And again, it did not disappoint. I thought that his designs translated lovely to the beautiful animation in Wolf Children.
It was very beautiful.
And that's something we haven't really talked too much about. And we're going to talk about the animation, then we'll talk about the music. But the animation is just very beautiful. It's lush, a fantastic color palette, muted tones when they assist, like sort of the mood and atmosphere, but also they weren't afraid to get very colorful when it was needed either.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks and moves beautifully, and there's a very specific style of sort of like light lines that are used from time to time to emphasize certain like moods and sort of feelings that
I wouldn't say
I just thought was fantastic.
I wouldn't say that it exactly was like a watercolor, but the, like in similar ways there was a certain softness to it.
Well, and that's exactly what I mean about, you know, certain sequences they have like a lighter touch with the lines and muted colors, and it does give, like you say, almost like a watercolor appearance.
It's just very beautiful to watch.
Very beautiful. This is a beautiful film. I think that, you know, I personally enjoyed the plot and the story enough that for me that's the draw. But if you told me you only watched this film because it was beautiful, I wouldn't fault you, because it is beautiful.
It really is.
Of course, Studio Madhouse. We've talked about Madhouse so many times.
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, how many Madhouse things have we already covered?
We've covered a couple at this point. Overlord was them. Paradise Kiss was them. A lot of the
Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, which we were talking about how, like, amazing it looked.
A lot of the Satoshi Kon films they were involved in.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we've talked a lot about Madhouse.
We've talked about Madhouse probably more than we have about any other studio at this point.
I mean, that's just a fact, I think. And again, you know, they have a reputation for being fantastic, and that's absolutely upheld here.
Yeah, I mean, it's Madhouse. I mean, Madhouse.
So last up here, I'd like to talk about the music. It is done by Takagi Masakatsu-san. He has actually not known primarily for his film scoring. He actually is more known for just his music. But he has done scores for pretty much all of the Mamoru Hosada-san films, as well as for the Studio Ghibli documentary, The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Oh.
So Takagi-san is just a very talented individual, and I thought his score for Wolf Children was really fantastic. I thought it was a beautiful score.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Boy and the Beast has a similarly well-lauded score.
Excellent, which of course he did, so I'm not incredibly surprised to hear it. Overall, though, just fantastic pieces of music. There were several times while I was watching the film that I was like, oh man, I need to find the OST for this. This is a really moving musical piece.
Yeah, just all the elements together just make it very lovely. And, you know, if you watched it with your mom on Mother's Day or not on Mother's Day, your mom will probably cry. Or not. I don't know your mom.
All right. Well, let's start wrapping this up. And we're going to get all middle school on you now. Sagi, what would you say are the themes of this piece?
Well, the themes of this piece... I am going to tell you about the themes of this piece. You said we're going to middle school, so I'm like, well, I mean, obviously, motherhood, family, you know, the sacrifices that, you know, families and particularly mothers, you know, make for their children. And, you know, also, like, identity and, but, I mean, like I said, as far as the identity and, like, hiding their identity, that was kind of to a lesser degree. So I would really say, you know, like, the big theme is, family, motherhood, and sacrifice and what mothers have to sacrifice. But then, you know, also finding one's own path, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I also thought the film had a lot to say about sort of our place in it within a community, sort of about, you know, the way that our actions impact the people around us, how to trust in the people around us and the value of trusting in the people around
us.
And
also just kind of the value of nature and taking care of nature.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a very Ghibli thing.
And how to recognize sort of, again, your own place within nature and recognizing, you know, just sort of that we are a part of it all and, you know.
And you know how to paint with the colors of the wind.
Ah, but basically, I was going to take it to a Fullmetal Alchemist place with that sort of all is one, one is all business. But you've nailed it. Colors of the wind, man. So, all right. Where can people watch this?
Well, you can buy it on Blu-ray for not a unreasonable price.
yeah, this is still in print from Funimation.
Yeah, so you can get it on Amazon. I even saw it on Best Buy's website for, you know, $19.99 for a Blu-ray, which, you know, sounds like a lot, but it's really not that bad. And I mean, for... And, you know, I understand it, like, going out and buying, straight up buying a Blu-ray for a movie you've never seen, you know, can be a bit of a gamble, but, I mean, it's a really beautiful film. For a while, it was on the Funimation streaming service, but it currently appears not to be. I don't know. Like, I've had trouble. Like, it says that stuff is streaming on there, and I've never, like, actually been able to stream it. So, like, I don't know if that's just me and the Funimation site, but, you know, if you are a Funimation streaming member, you might want to, you know, keep your eyes peeled for that there as well.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, unless you have anything else to add about the film, let's move this piece forward.
All right.
All right, Slaggy, do we got some social links over there?
We have some tweets to catch up on. First comes from Demix the Cat on Twitter. Says, great episode in regards to our last episode, Sword of the Stranger. If you like Kagewani, you should check out Yamishibai, also in Crunchyroll. So creepy.
All right.
Yeah, so creepy is sort of your MO, Captain Spike.
Yeah, like I'll load it up tonight.
I bet you were like, oh, I wish this was more spooky werewolf. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was very happy with this, Pete, that with what we talked about this week, though.
Edward Wan 4 says, catching up with AnimeBuoy.org Sailor Moon episode, and I wonder if Spike Point and Slackick have seen the new Teen Titans movie. The team gets magical girl transformations, which is kind of amazing in a grim, dark DC animated film.
You know, I haven't gotten around to it yet, but as I mentioned to you on Twitter, in fact, my roommate does own a copy because he's a DC guy, so I will definitely be watching it.
That's awesome. Edward Wan says, it made me squeal when I watched it at 4 a.m. in the house. It made me squeal when I watched it at like 4 in the a.m. Woke up the house. Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
And we are going to wrap up with some tweets from California Wolf on Twitter. No relation to Wolf Children, as far as I know. But
presumably.
Not everyone hated on Sailor Moon Crystal. Good to hear someone else defending it on a story perspective. Felt kind of lonely. I agree that it felt like we as fans were not given the quality it deserved, but it in no way deserved the backlash it got. I am so glad you said that, because is it time for our What's Up?
It is time for What's Up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
So I wanted to talk about the new season of Sailor Moon Crystal, which I have been watching. And, you know, I know a lot of people who were not a super big fan of seasons 1 and 2 are definitely on board this time. You know, the animation quality is a lot more consistent. I'm hesitant to use, like, the word better, although, I mean, yes, it is better. But, you know, I would say it's definitely a lot more consistent. It does harken back a little bit more to the classic anime style. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of just making obvious statements right now, but, you know, the transformation sequences are in 2D. So, I mean, it definitely feels a little more 90s, but without feeling dated. So that's good.
Excellent.
And the thing that I appreciate is that even though it is not going one episode per issue of the manga, the story definitely is a lot faster paced. I mean, we already have, you know, characters appearing that it took 20, 30 episodes in Sailor Moon S.
Holy moly. Appear.
Yeah. So I'm loving it. Sailor Moon S is one of the greatest arcs of that show. And it's really translating well to Crystal.
Excellent. I haven't been watching as much anime super recently. I've sort of been trying to focus my energies on several Japanese tokusatsu shows for my other podcast, Ranger Pride.
Almost counts.
Sort of. Well, right. And I've been sort of giving Slaggy little, like, assignments of, like, watch this so we can talk about it on a future episode of Anime Buoy. So, I have been watching Dragon Ball Super, though.
Oh my god, yes!
I'm basically up to date. I'm behind, like, one episode, I think. But I'm so here for it. The show has definitely gotten to the point now where it hangs with the best of the original Dragon Ball Z series, and I am eating it up. I'm like, at this point now, like, super fan Dragon Ball status. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Dragon Ball Super is that, you know, it's a good show. The thing about Dragon Ball Z is that it's a pretty good show, but it was not always a good show at every single moment. So,
yeah.
I mean, Dragon Ball Z was has kind of always been one of those shows where it's like, no, it was kind of trash in some ways, but we love it. Like, Super is actually, like, so good. It's, like, self-aware, but, you know, it's so good. It's the Dragon Ball anime that we deserved. We're not worthy.
All right, well, with all that having been said, I think it's time for our solicitations.
Oh, my. Oh, you mean those types of solicitations.
Obviously.
Well, we love your feedback. We like your iTunes and Stitcher radio subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
Our Twitter is animebuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
At animebuoy.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
And you can check us out, and you can always email us at mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
And our home base, which is starting to grow now, is animebuoy.org.
Animebuoy.org.
So with that, I think it's time to do a few little shout-outs.
All right. Well, if you would like to hear Slagkick and I's main show, where we talk about video game news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be, you should go head in the direction of GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
I'd also like to point you in the direction of the Ranger Pride cast, where Shane Olenko and I talk about the current season of the meta series Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, as well as the Japanese Super Sentai series upon which it's based. Both of these shows can also be found streaming on VogNetwork.com.
That's the Voice of Geeks Network.
At VogNetwork.com.
At VogNetwork.com. I'd like to shout out to the show that I host along with Captain Spike, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from Video Game Realness, which is Reading is Fundamental. It's the podcast where we serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, hunty. And we're coming up on the end of the season, so... I know, we had a little bit shorter season this year, so... but it is also May already. I can't believe where the year has gone, so...
It's gonna be May.
It is May. It is May. So, yeah, so we really had a lot of fun this season. We really appreciate everyone who's been tuning in over there. And if you're listening from Reading is Fundamental and you found us that way first over here on animebuoy.org, then thank you for jumping over to our ship. I'd also like to shout out to Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. And if you like to listen to gaming shows, we shout a bunch of them out on Game Buoy, so please take a listen there.
Yeah, and, you know, with that, I think we're about done here. Thank you so much for spending this lovely Sunday afternoon with us. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
I hope that you have had half as much fun listening to us as we've had talking to you today. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks' time, but until then, keep watching, keep thinking, and see you, Space Cowboy.
So are we doing Hamtaro or Bottom Biting Bug next week?
Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics. Get your hot mics.
All right, is there anything else you need before we... Oh, I need to grab my beverages. Ahoy, mateys. Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video...